Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm excited to have Norma Rubio as my guest for Live Your Music today. Join us for a conversation about mindfulness, meditation, and inner peace. Hello, Norma.
Hi, Margot. It's such a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the show. I'm just so, I think what you're doing with your Inner Peace Masterclass was just so absolutely amazing. I was so thankful that Cheryl Richardson sent out an e-newsletter that said that you were having that class and she was going to be on it because she's been one of my favorite authors for years and years and years. And I just, you know, I just thought I have to listen to this. I have to see what Cheryl has to say and what Norma's like. And I just loved it. I just absolutely loved the interview that you did with her. And, you know, inner peace is such an important part of life right now. Everybody's going kind of crazy with all the things that we can't control out there. So. I think that what you did putting together all those different authors, Cheryl Richardson, Martha Beck, Arielle Ford, and then Dr. Dan Siegel, your UCLA mindfulness and awareness teacher, and Savannah Guthrie and more. I mean, it was just an incredible series. And
well, thank you so much, Margot, and thank you for tuning in. It really was such a pleasure.
Yeah, you did a great job. You really did great. Did a great job. So I'm curious, though, to find out how you ended up doing this. And you were a longtime TV producer, now a meditation teacher. What brought you to this part of your journey?
Wow. Well, you know, I love this question because it's not just a linear path that brought me here. And so I'll try to succinctly answer it to the best of my abilities. But before I do, I just want to quickly mention something about what you said about Cheryl Richardson, so I can love up on her a little bit too. You know, long ago, when I was probably in high school, I would watch the Oprah show. I'd get so much out of that show. And Cheryl Richardson was a frequent guest on the show. And I remember one time her, and I think even Martha Beck at the time, Oprah brought on a bunch of thought leaders and they were talking about affirmations. And it really stuck with me when Cheryl Richardson said, one of the affirmations that I use daily in my life is, the world is conspiring in my favor.
I love that.
The world is conspiring in my favor. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, what would happen if I could change my mindset or my perspective as I walk through the world? And rather than thinking like, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Or, you know, this probably won't happen because, I mean, you know, I can't see how that will happen. What if I just said, the world is conspiring in my favor? And that was an entryway for me to start thinking a little more positively in the world. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that's the only way to fix us and to get us to a place of inner peace, but certainly it's a component that for me personally has been very useful. And I credit Cheryl Richardson for helping sort of imprint that little glimpse of that thinking in my mind very early on. And so when it came to putting the Inner Peace Masterclass together, she was definitely one of the folks at the top of my list of people who I had been following for years, who had been a mentor and a teacher to me for many years through her teachings and her books. And I was so honored and grateful when she said yes.
That's a great story. I remember those shows on Oprah. I was at that point definitely working during the day, so I remember recording the shows when she had on Cheryl Richardson, Martha Beck, Louise Hay, and I think there were just the three of them. I don't know, maybe there was a fourth person, but I think it was the three of them and Oprah is what it was. But it was like a two-part series where they were on for two shows, I think, and it just was so powerful, and talking to them about all of those things, like you said, and then also getting their perspectives, and Louise Hay was always so calming too. You know, she's always says all is well, everything is working out for the highest good. You know, and I am safe. Mm. I think that's her thing. You know, and it's something that we all need to be reminded, because unless we can be in the moment, we can't deal with what's going on anyway. You know, so.
Yeah, and I think so much of what we struggle with in our lives, at least me personally, is we live in a society where it really is all about achieving and getting more, and if this happens or when this happens, then this, then I'll be happy, then I'll be at peace, then I'll be stable, then I'll be secure. And I think to touch on the question that you asked me earlier about what brought me here today, it sort of started early on, even just as a young child. I remember really having a lot of anxiety. It was as though I was always thinking and worrying about the future, because what I learned early on through whatever programming, and this is not in any way meant to blame anybody or anything, but how I somehow processed my information was that I was just not enough. I wasn't enough. And so the only way to become enough was to like achieve. I had to be somebody. Mm-hmm. I had to succeed in life. I had to get the right job with the right title and the right salary. And so even early on, I remember thinking, because I was like such a go-getter at sports and student council and drama and what was the other thing? Sports was my main thing. Yeah. And so I would worry. Like, I remember I was such a basketball, like, fan. And I remember having anxiety before each game. As a little child, I couldn't even sleep because I was so worried about how I was going to perform in the game. And, like, I would picture myself scoring and, like, stealing the ball. And some of that is actually good. But when it's inhibiting your sleep, it can be a little bit, you know, it was not just, like, a excitement, but there was an actual, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to fall apart if I don't make all this happen and if it doesn't go well for me. And so I spent many years in that sort of frantic state of mind of worrying about the future. And I would do everything I could to plan and process and worry, so that, because I felt like if I worried, then maybe it was like I could control the future in some way. So
yeah, it's interesting that how people think that worry is going to help them control the future, when it's actually, when you look at law of attraction, it's thinking about what you don't want. And so,
oftentimes it is.
I mean, we all do it. I mean, it's part of being human. But, you know, the more I learn about the power of our thoughts and our focus and our perspective and all of that, it's like by thinking about what you don't want, you just end up attracting more of it into your life. I've got so many stories of where I resisted something or didn't want something, and I ended up with multiple times it showing up here and showing up there and whatever. You know, so you start getting to a point where you really start paying attention to your thoughts and what you're thinking about and what you're focusing on. But it seems to me that this Inner Peace Masterclass is, I want you to tell us a little bit about that, about what led you to developing it, and a little bit, maybe briefly, about the people that were on it and some of the biggest impacts that they had on you during the show.
Yeah. So I ended up, I'm a former, and actually I still do TV producing. And so I, for many years, worked in TV news. And I had always wanted to be able to provide content in the world that could elevate the level of consciousness or transform, heal in some way, provide just some sort of alternate programming and content for people out there who were sort of overwhelmed by the hard nature of news. I mean, especially today, it's tough out there, and to be glued to our TV news cable channels for 24 hours a day. I mean, I think it's important to stay informed on what's happening in the world, but I hear from a lot of people that they just can't stomach too much all the time because it's just hard, you know, it's really hard. And so my goal was to really, I thought to myself, like, how can I, with the skills that I have as a meditation teacher, as a TV producer, how can I provide something in the world that would bring this sort of sense of positivity in the world, but also honor all the people that I've learned from throughout the years and their teachings and introduce an audience to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the Inner Peace Masterclass was born. I just decided, well, no one is going to do it for me, and no one's going to come knock on my door and ask me to do it. I just need to get into action and put something together. And let mm-hmm. me tell you, it wasn't easy and it was a little bit scary. But once I got a few people on board, it became a little bit easier, and I realized, wow, I've got something really special here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that is just such a great example of what it means to live your music, where you feel called to do something, and it's just something that you need to do, and it sometimes almost even seems crazy, and it definitely seems big, and you're going, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this? You know, mm-hmm. but once you start seeing that, oh, well, that wasn't as hard as I thought, and, oh, this is exciting, and, oh, you know, I've found for me is that, you know, that book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, I wrote about it in my book, and it's so true. For me, it's like, feel the excitement and do it anyway, because, you know, once I can shift to realizing that if it's both fear and excitement, it's something that's going to help me grow. And so mm-hmm. if I can focus on the excitement, it helps to neutralize the fear.
mm-hmm.
So I really, mm-hmm. it sounds like that's kind of what was happening with you, is that once you started getting going on it, you were able to feel the excitement of it, and that was helping neutralize the fear of doing it. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the other thing that I will say, and this is potentially a tip for people out there who are wanting to do something and they're thinking to themselves, oh, but how can I possibly? I really, if you're a perfectionist in any way like I am, I really had to let go of this idea that I can only do it if it's perfect, number one, and I have to know what I'm doing before I do it. Well, no, sometimes you have to figure it out along the way. And for me,
exactly.
that meant, that meant fumbling over my words a little bit. It meant showing up like and having a little bit of shakiness in my voice at times, or, you know, the audio, you have a show, you know, this happens, right? Where sometimes mm-hmm. like the signals get crossed, or the audio just isn't perfect, or technology gets in the way. And I just had to say to myself, like, the content is what matters here.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, as a TV producer, I want it all to look beautiful and sound perfect. But at the end of the day, it's just me putting this on and an assistant that can help me with some of the tech stuff, you know. So it's a small little itty bitty team, and we're doing our best. So what is the intention behind what I'm putting out there? And the intention was all along to create content that would help transform and inspire, but also to help build community. And that's what resulted as a process of all this. And I've gotten so many emails from people all over the world, really touched and moved by some of the things that they heard during the interviews. And I myself, to come back to one of your earlier questions, I myself mm-hmm. was deeply moved by so many of these conversations in so many ways. And when you come off, and you probably experience this somewhat yourself doing a show, like mm-hmm. come off the air and you have the goosebumps because you know something in there really moved you in a certain way. And to me, this is like everything I have ever hoped for my future, is to connect on a deep level with these thought leaders in this way. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this is it. This is what I was meant to do.
Yeah. I'll tell you actually it was watching, because it was video, not just audio, but watching and listening, you are so born to do that. You were and one of the things, Cheryl Richardson, back to her, she'd always said that she felt the best speakers were authentic, likable, funny, and unique. I like to think of it more as genuine, lovable, fun, and creative. But, you know, you're all of those things, you know. And the thing is that when somebody is too perfect and too polished, then I don't trust it. And, you know, I have a friend that has a show where she edits it, you know, edits the thing to, you know, And I'm thinking, number one, I don't want to spend the time doing it. I want it to be live, and I want it to be, if there's some imperfections, fine, but it's just honest. It's just real. And that's the way I felt your interviews were. They all felt real. They all felt from the heart, both from you and from the people that you were having the conversations with. So I ended up listening to the favorite ones more than once during the time. And are you going to rerun the series? Because it was wonderful. I can picture doing it again, even with the same interview.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for that kind feedback. It is truly a dream come true to do something like this, but then to hear that kind of feedback, it's just the thing that you hope for, right? It's the thing that you wish, is that you hope that people will get something out of it and that they'll like it and that they'll like you. I mean, I'm human, so of course I want that.
Yeah.
And I get that not everybody will, and that's okay too. But yes, to answer the second part, I am considering rerunning the series at some point, or perhaps turning it into a podcast. But what I've done, because I did get such amazing feedback from people wanting more, is I've decided to continue the masterclass. And so I am, as we speak, recording fresh new interviews with different folks. And so I will be releasing those along the way as I develop a system in terms of how I want to release them, because I think we're going to do video and audio so that people can listen in their cars. So yeah, I'm going to continue. And then I think at some point it would be nice, because I've heard this a couple of times from folks, it would be nice to re-release the ones that I've already done.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like one of the things I've noticed with authors, for example, I mean, some of my favorite authors have so many books, and it's like, yeah, I mean, it's great, but I mean, people don't have time to reread them all the time. And a lot of times the original one has so much in it. And so I can see that, you know, doing the new ones, but also doing re-releasing this other one as well, so more people can that have heard about it from their friends can go, oh, wow, I really want to see it this time.
Mm-hmm,
and I
yeah.
love your idea. I love your idea, though, of having it as both video or audio, because you wouldn't want people watching video in the car. That's so dangerous. But they could listen to it
yeah.
while they're commuting if it was just audio. So, yeah, to be able to have it both ways. Boy, the time is just flying by.
Oh, goodness.
Before we get going on the next question, I just want to remind everyone out there listening that we want you to figure out what it is that it means to live your music. And so I have some questions for all the listeners right now to think about. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Norma, I am so glad you're living your music by doing this. And I want to talk to you about a little bit now, too, though, about being a meditation coach and about mindfulness, because those are such a big part of having inner peace. And so can you tell us why someone would want meditation coaching, and talk to us a little bit about your style of coaching?
Sure, absolutely. Well, my gateway to this sense of inner peace has been meditation. Now, like I mentioned before, earlier in the interview, I have spent a lifetime really seeking, you know, self-development, spirituality. I spent time in the church. I have read tons of self-development books. I've been to a lot of therapy. And I started years ago doing a moving meditation called yoga. And when I went to my first yoga class, I remember thinking, wow, this is the first hour I've ever spent in my life not worrying about something. Because I was so focused on breathing and moving and trying to do the poses. And I had really just gone because there was tension in my shoulders, and everyone said, you should go stretch. Well, little did I know that yoga was going to be a very life-transforming practice for me, because it became my moving meditation. And then a few years later, I had heard all this talk about meditation. And I discovered meditation on a platform in Mexico overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And it's a story probably for another time, but it was just a spectacular occasion for me of an awakening process. And so after that experience, I started meditating daily and made it a non-negotiable for myself to wake up every morning and meditate. And this is where my life really began to transform at an exponential level. Because what I started realizing is that for all that self-development work that I had done, which was so important and it got me to be so self-aware, what meditation did for me was supplemented all of that with this well of inner resource building. In other words, I started to find out that, oh my goodness, there's wisdom inside of there. And I have the capacity to actually help walk myself through these challenges in life or help really invigorate the more enthusiastic moments of my life too. And life became richer, and I started recognizing that, holy moly, there is such a thing as peace of mind. And
thank
it's
God.
Okay that I'm not living, right? And it's okay that I'm not living in that sense of peace of mind every second of the day because, you know, inner peace isn't about getting rid of life's challenges and the difficult, tough parts of it. It's about having a better relationship to it all. And so as a meditation coach, that's what I offer. I help guide and support people through that journey. And it is possible to do it without a coach or a teacher. But I recommend a coach or a teacher because that's how I learned. And when you have questions that come up and there's a whole plethora of specific meditation techniques and tools that you can use for specific areas of your life, and so when you have these things coming up, it is helpful to have somebody to be there to support you in that journey and to help you see the resources that you already have within you and that capacity to heal and transform.
Well, that's one of the things I love about coaching is that it's about helping people bring out what they can do, but by helping them see things in ways that they aren't even able to see themselves and see life, and to give them some ideas of ways that they can look at it in a way that does cause them more inner peace. So I think it's awesome that you're doing that. I personally resisted meditation for years, and it was back in 2005 after my first time going to a Hay House I Can Do It and seeing Abraham Hicks there for all day. I got curious to try a 15-minute meditation that they suggest doing. And I was like resisting it, going, I don't want to close my eyes. I like to look at things. You know, I was an art major at one time and worked in graphic design and photography, and I like looking at things. But I tried it for 15 minutes with the timer, and oh my gosh, it felt so good. It was like Esther said, it's like, let's do it again. So I decided, though, that 15 minutes a day for me fits into my morning schedule a lot better than doing it over and over, but for the most part. But yeah, I've been doing it almost every single day since then, and it's like you said, it's non-negotiable for me. I may have missed a day, like if I was sick or something, I don't even remember, but for the most part, it's something I do every day, and it's something I highly recommend. And yet there's just so many different ways that you can go with meditations. There's the guided meditations. There's the ones where you're just breathing. I mean, it would definitely be great for someone to have a coach like you that could help them with choosing which way to start with it and maybe where to go with it after that. So that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and, you know, I also believe that it's not for everybody. I don't believe that meditation is for everybody. I think you have to sort of really explore what works for you in terms of an awareness practice. But I can say that for the most part, when you do become more present to your everyday experience, which is what the kind of meditation that I teach is about, mindfulness meditation, we start to pay attention in a different way. We start to cultivate more ease and calm. We start to cultivate more compassion and kindness in the world. It doesn't mean we become perfect human beings. I mean, for goodness sakes, if I could, I would. But I still, you know, I still have moments of just like extreme anger, frustration, whatever. Like, it's still going to happen. But again, we're building that resource capacity to deal with it in a different manner. So we become better skilled at dealing more appropriately with these things when they come up. And so, yes, it does. It helps because you can say, oh, you know, I was practicing my mindfulness and I thought I was doing well. And then this happened. And then I did this. And then you come back to somebody like me and you say, this is what happened. And then I say, ah, okay, here's this. Or let's try this, or, you know, it's sort of about what works for you personally and exploring that.
Yeah. We only have about 4 minutes left, and I wanted to find...
It's gone by so fast.
Oh, I know. What do you believe are the keys to inner peace then? Can you give us a little recap on what you think that is?
Oh, yeah, such a big question, right? Well, this whole show is live your music, right? I think one of the components is about really tapping into what serves your heart and soul and then creatively expressing that in that way. I think that you like to say that the whole Wayne Dyer thing, what is it? Don't die with the music still in you?
Right. He said, don't die with your music still in you.
Yeah,
and so I call the show Live Your Music to remind people to live the music in their heart.
Yeah, for me, that's a component of inner peace. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because it's my music, and I don't want to spend the rest of my days here on the earth saying, what if? That's one component. There are so many, but I think for me personally, one of the main components besides that, so like tuning into that, but the way we get there is knowing that we are whole just because we are. In other words, we don't need to be, this is how I lived my life, is like, oh, if I get this job or that title or this salary, then I'll be whole. Even that relationship, right? But the truth is that we are whole no matter what because we are. And this is how I try to walk in my life through my meditation practice and through all the stuff that I do, is to remember who I really am, and that who I really am is somebody who's whole already just because I am. And then that makes me able to live my music.
I love that. And you know, you're so right. It's like, you know, you don't want to get to the end of your life and go, oh my gosh, I never lived my music. I was busy doing what everybody else thought I should do or what I thought I should do in order to be successful, and I didn't ever live my music. And living your music can be just being who you are. And it's like Oprah had said that Maya Angelou said to her, your legacy is every life you've touched in every single way. And so by living your life, you're teaching by how you live your life, you're sharing by how you live your life, you're changing the world by how you live your life. And that's what I hope everybody got out of this, is that it's important to take a look at what's important to you and to take some time for yourself. I mean, that's the other thing. Take time for your own life. So, Norma, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for doing the Inner Peace Masterclass. And I'm looking forward to the next one already. So,
oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for doing what you do, because I believe you can live your music even in the current situation that you're at. You don't have to have the perfect job to do it. It's like what you just said about who you are and how you show up in the world. So how you're showing up is a testament to that, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's everything you do. It's not just work. It's not just what you get paid to do. It's how you live your life. Well, thank you again for your perspective. I wish we had a lot more time. Maybe I'll have you back on and we can talk more depth. For now,
wonderful.
Everyone.
Thank you.
for now, everyone, I just want you to live your music, listen to this again, share it with your friends and family, and feel some inner peace. Bye for now, Norma. Bye for now, everyone. Live your music.
Bye. Thank you so much, my dear.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.